Well, good morning, New Hope. It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood again, amen? This is a day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it.
Try to remember everything. I didn't write it down what I'm supposed to say this morning, so hopefully I'll do this without forgetting stuff. And if I do, I'm sure someone behind me will remind me what I was supposed to say. Live stream Vacation Bible School starts tomorrow evening at 7 o'clock. 7 o'clock tomorrow evening, and it'll be live stream, obviously. You can go to the New Hope Facebook page or New Hope website, and you'll find the link on the site to watch the Vacation Bible School for your youngsters
and adults who want to watch it. If you don't have this piece of paper, there are some over on that table over there. Go ahead, feel free to pick one up, take one home or two, and maybe pass them to your neighbors if there are some kids in the neighborhood that maybe you want to let them know about the Vacation Bible School tomorrow evening, starting tomorrow evening. It goes Monday through Friday of this coming week. Morningstar Pregnancy Center, next Sunday is Father's Day, so that ends as far as the giving. Normally we have the baby bottle blessing going on from Mother's Day to Father's Day. Of course, this year we couldn't hand out the bottles. I don't know why. Something's going on, supposedly, so we couldn't give the bottles out. So if you haven't given yet, you can go ahead and do that online, or you can actually write a check here at New Hope. Put a note on it, Morningstar Pregnancy Center, we'll get the funds to them or mail a check directly to the center. All right. And something else I was supposed to talk about. I got it all? Huh. How about that? Every so often, a blind squirrel finds an acorn. Anyway, so it's really good to see you. Take your chairs when you leave. I don't want to stack them all up after this is over. So make sure you take your chairs when you leave this morning. And it's a little cool this morning. So if someone has a jacket to lend to Pastor Chad, because I know he's probably cold, you know, the poor guy, you know. You're welcome to come on over now. That is it.
That was my cue.
I think I've done it all.
Thank you, Bob.
You're welcome.
Yes, you're right. A blind squirrel does find a nut, but a broken clock is also twice a day. So
I have no idea what he's talking about. Yeah. I'm out of here.
All right. Hello, everybody. It's great to see everybody here. We're always excited about what God has in store. This is understandable, but it's interesting how every week we kind of move a few feet over this way. So, you know, Alan and I were up here earlier trying to keep our balance looking at the crowd. You guys are over here. So I'll do my best to engage, and I'll try not to step in front of the speaker like I did last week and pierced everybody's ears. So I apologize for that. But you know, here at New Hope, we always acknowledge as much as we possibly can achievements. And there's a lot of things that have happened this year, as you know. There's a lot with the pandemic, a lot of things were not being able to be celebrated as normal. We were not able to have graduations as normal, but we would like to honor our graduates. So is Angela Pierce here? Angela Pierce, if you are here, come on up, please. And Peter White, if you are here, would you come on up? How are you? You're good. You graduated.
Thank you.
Are you excited?
Yeah.
Are you encouraged?
Yeah.
You're looking forward to a tremendous adult life?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. Let's give her a hand. Okay. And Peter, how are you doing, sir?
A little sleepy.
Okay. You excited too?
Yeah.
Yeah. You're out of it. You're out of school. You put all that behind you, and now great things are in front of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We'll be praying for you and hope that's true. Let's give him a hand. All right. And we also want to mention, too, that Patrick Miller, he did graduate from basic training in the Army. So let's give him a hand. He's not able to be with us here. And Michaela Miller, she graduated from Penn State. So let's give her a hand as well. It's great to be able to honor the achievements and to have some excitement right now for the future, you know, and to look at, you know, all of us, if we could think for a moment about where we were during those achievements in our lives when we graduated and what we thought about and what we were going to become and how we were going to change the world. And the difference that we were going to make and all of the things that were in our minds at that time. That's something I think that has a lot to do with having the faith of a child. Not saying the graduates are children, of course, because they're not, because they're just now going into adulthood. But having the faith of a child is being open to what God has for us and being excited for what he has for us. So as we go into our prayer time here, we're going to pray for our graduates that we mentioned here, and we're also going to be praying for each of you, and we're going to be praying that God would keep all of us, every single one of us, focused during this time. You know, it's interesting. We have a lot that's going on in our world, in our culture right now, and a lot of confusion, a lot of mass confusion. We don't quite get it. We don't understand. And what's interesting, though, is when you look back in history and you just read the Old Testament, you find out that, you know, sin isn't new. It's not anything that just started. It may be new to us in the way that we're seeing it, but it isn't anything new. And God has a way of seeing us through, even though things just don't seem quite right now. So let's just pause and let's just say a word of prayer for our graduates, and then let's just pray for all of us. And I also just want to mention Cindy Robinson going in for knee replacement surgery this Thursday. Let's be sure to remember her in our prayers. Lord Jesus, We are grateful today for who you are and for everything that you mean to us. We're grateful for our graduates. We're grateful for the time that they spent in investing so much time to achieve something that has become so common that we forget that it really is something to be excited and something to be celebrated. And we pray that each one of them would be focused on you as they move into their adult lives and going to college and jobs and work and wherever you take them. We pray, God, that you would be the one that would lead them and they would be focused solely upon you and all that they do and say. We pray for Cindy Robinson, who's going in for her surgery. It's been a long time for scheduling, not being able to schedule, and there's a lot of struggles that she's been dealing with physically, so we pray for her today. We continue to pray for Pat and for Becca and dealing with their health issues as well. And Lord, I pray that all of us today, every single one of us, would be focused on you. It is so easy to lose our focus. It is so easy to be distracted about things that are going on that we forget about who you are. I forget about who you are many times, Jesus. And so many times things come in that Satan likes to say lies to us to get us off course and get us distracted instead of being able to focus on the one true and living God that we can put our faith and trust in, and that you are our foundation during this time and at all times. And I pray for the remainder of this service, Jesus, that everything we say and do would be glorifying to you. And we ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.
You guys ready to worship some more? If you would like to sit or stand, whatever you feel comfortable doing, whatever God's calling you to do, do it. Let's sing.
Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you.
See you high.
See you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy. Of my heart, Lord, open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy.
See you high.
Holy, 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 holy. want to see you. Holy, 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 I want to see you. Unravel me with a melody. You surround me with a song of deliverance from my enemies till all my fears are gone. I'm no longer a slave to fear. Here I'm a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. My mother's womb, you have chosen me. Thou hast called my name. I've been born again into your family. Your blood flows through my veins. Sing it. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear. I am a child of God.
One more time.
So I can walk right through it. My fears were drowned in perfect love. You rescued me so I can stand and sing. I am a child of God. Yeah. You split the sea so I can walk.
Amen. We are a child of God, and we are able to look to Him. And it's great to worship together and great to to bring us focused on what all this is about. And it's all about him. It's all about Jesus and everything that Jesus asks, everything that Jesus is in and through us. So we're going to continue today. We're looking at 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to be looking again at verses 5 through verse 9 today, verses 5 through 9. Now, for this very reason also, applying all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, and in your moral excellence, knowledge, and in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. For if these qualities are yours and are increasing, they render you neither useless nor unfruitful in the true knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins. So first of all, let me explain why it is we're kind of trying to balance this out a bit, because if you know me very well, as I mentioned when we did the live stream from inside and it was just me pretty much or even from my house at the beginning, it was just me and the camera, I did it and I think I was somewhat adequate at it. However, I like to engage with the people. And I like to see whether you're laughing at my jokes or not laughing or rolling your eyes or, you know, whatever you might be doing. So I like to feed off that. So now this has been a challenge for me because, as I mentioned, the crowd is moving this direction and we have the live stream over here keeping me on the screen. So every now and then, maybe I have to do one of these, like a straight over. Hey, this is for you, you know? Yeah. Something like that. But I say that to say that it appears as possible that there is a chance that we could very well be with no guarantee in the building soon. I know how to cover my bases, don't I? Right. If everything goes according to plan, hopefully this time next Sunday, that is where we will be. But I'm just saying, if everything goes according to plan, because as you know, everything changes day to day. They say one thing and then you hear something else, but hopefully that's what's going to happen. And I say it that way because if something changes, I don't want anybody to say, well, you promised me. Nope, I don't promise anything. Did anybody hear me promise anything? People are shaking their head, nodding their heads. No, I didn't promise anything. All right, so anyway, looking at this passage, by the way, I just realized today that was me, the voice back there. I thought, is there another church service going on over there somewhere? So I'm hearing myself. But when we look at this passage, we've been talking about this for a couple weeks, and this passage focuses on behavior, and it focuses on changing behavior. Peter is expressing the idea of the sacrifice and having faith in Christ at first. And then he moves on from that to add to your faith that just because you believe in Christ isn't enough. Just because you believe that Christ was your sacrifice isn't enough. He moves on to say you are to add these things to your faith. Now I'm going to read these once again, these behaviors that he's speaking of, and I want you to listen. Not that you didn't listen the first time, but I want you to listen. And what I want you to do is I want you to think about, which one of these behaviors, as I read them, do you find the most challenging? Okay, everybody ready? Apply all diligence in your faith, supply moral excellence, in your moral excellence, knowledge, in your knowledge, self-control, and in your self-control, perseverance, and in your perseverance, godliness, and in your godliness, brotherly kindness, and in your brotherly kindness, love. Which one? If you had to choose one that is the most challenging on that list, anybody, shout it out. Perseverance. Anybody? Anybody else? Godliness. I'm sorry? All of the above. Okay, we'll be having a discussion afterwards about that with you. Anybody else? Say it again. Brotherly love. Yes. I like the idea of all of them, as was just stated here, because they're all challenging, aren't they? All of them. And the basis for all of them is the fact that as believers and followers of Jesus, we are not to stay the same. That's one thing that is clear. The minute we start following Jesus, we are not to stay the same. There's supposed to be change that takes place, and there are behaviors that are supposed to change for us to be Christ-like and for us to be the example of Christ-likeness. And he lists these very clearly, and it's something how when he lists these, how he's making sure he's covering all the bases, right? Because there's not one thing in here in this list that you can say, he didn't really mention that, though. Yeah, he did. Every possible wrong behavior there is encompassed with what he stated here. Every possible sin, every possible anything going against God is listed here. And so that going off on the same thing we talked about last week, the idea that having faith in Christ isn't enough, that when you have faith in Christ, that's just the beginning. That's the catalyst to send us into our walk with Christ, which means that our behaviors then need to change. If we go back to the idea of why we even have scripture in the first place, sometimes I think we're confused about why we have scripture. Have you ever been confused about why we have scripture? Have you ever heard conflicting views when it comes to scripture? Some believe scripture's purpose is this. Others believe scripture's purpose is this. You've probably heard it as I have. I've heard atheists who are able to quote more scripture than most Christians. They don't believe, but they use scripture for a different purpose. So that would be a question, isn't it? Wouldn't that be interesting to go around and take a survey? What is the purpose of scripture? And to see how people would respond? Because what is it? What's the value of it? Because I remember when I was working in the grocery store one time, and this guy comes up to me, and he knew that I was a preacher. He knew I was preaching somewhere that night, and he said that I should preach on the evolution of the peanut. And of course, he was being sarcastic. I don't know why he thought I would enjoy sarcasm, but I guess he did. So I looked at him and I said, yeah, I would have a hard time finding a reference for that in the scripture, preaching about the evolution of a peanut. And he goes, and he looked at me, and he had some church background. He wasn't a professing believer. He made that clear. But he said to me, he said, not every message has to have a scriptural backing or a scriptural reference. And I thought, really? And I looked at him and I said, well, I believe it does. He said, really? He said, because let me just sum it up for you. The Bible is only just one thing. Be good. That's all it is. That was his summary of the Bible. And some of you here today may even believe the same way. You may believe that the purpose of Scripture is simply be good. Be a good person. So there's differing viewpoints about what the purpose of Scripture is. The Apostle Paul makes it clear in 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17, where he says what the purpose is. The first thing he says is that all Scripture is God-breathed. All Scripture is God-breathed. Your translation may say inspire. And what that means is that when you read this book, when you read the Bible, when you read Scripture, it isn't a history book, it isn't a magazine, it isn't a periodical, it's actually God Himself speaking truth into your life. That's the first thing. And then he goes on to list what the purpose of Scripture is. And he says it's for teaching, it's for preaching, it's for edification, it's for rebuking. And I always stop at the rebuking, and you've heard me talk about that before, because the idea of rebuking is something that's not very common when we would look at what the purpose of Scripture is. Because we like all the positives, you know, the positives that Scripture gives us. We like to read the Psalms at times and be blessed, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a good thing. But we can't forget the fact that the purpose of Scripture is also to rebuke us, and it's to convict us. And the main purpose of Scripture is to change us. So when we study the Scripture, we ask the question of an application. How does this apply to my life? What does this change in my life right now? What is God desiring to change in me? So as we look at these behaviors that Peter is listing, the question that we should be asking should be, God, which behavior is it? Or even if it is all of them, God, how can these behaviors be changed in my life if this is what you are expecting of me? Because the opposite of that would be for us to read and study these behaviors and walk away from these behaviors and say, well, nobody's perfect, and then that's it. But instead, we need to look at the idea that there's something about this that needs to change. The main idea that Peter is getting at here is that this is essential. This isn't a suggestion. This isn't optional. This isn't up for negotiation. And we see that when he says in verse 9, he makes it very clear. In verse 9, he says, "For he who lacks these qualities is blind or short-sighted, having forgotten his purification from his former sins." So these aren't just opinions. This isn't Peter's opinion. This isn't optional. This isn't the idea of, when you get around to it. He's saying this is essential as a believer in Christ. These behaviors must be displayed. Which means, if that's true, then when I study this as a believer, then I look at this and I say, okay, Jesus, here's who I am. Here's my tendencies. Here's my behaviors. Here's the behaviors you ask of me. If that doesn't match up, I need to say, Jesus, what do I got to do to get that to match up? I got to be desiring something here. I got to be seeking something. I got to see a way for you to change me in some way, because I don't want to go away from this and not be pleasing to you. The crust of what he's talking about, I would say, is summed up when he says the one self-control. When he mentions self-control throughout there, that's pretty much everything he's talking about in a general sense, right? Because he's talking about the idea of you can't just go by impulse. You can't just go by instinct. You can't just do what you want just because you feel like you should do it. No, you're following Jesus now. That isn't the way you operate anymore. You don't go by instinct. You don't go by impulse. You don't go by, what else would you expect me to do? You don't go by peer pressure. You don't go by what everybody else is doing. You simply go according to what God desires of you. One of the problems that we have is so many times we go by impulse. And we act upon our emotion. We act upon emotion, we act upon impulse, and we act upon instinct. And if you think about the idea of instinct so much, the idea of instinct is you just simply exist. You just do it. Right? How many times have you ever caught yourself and even walking away from a situation and you reacted maybe in a wrong way and it was simply out of instinct? It's what they call the knee-jerk reaction. And maybe you circle back around and you tell the person, I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. That was just a knee-jerk reaction. Or have you ever heard of the famous one, think before you speak? I heard an oh yeah over here somewhere. Wow, someone really gets that one. Think before you speak. What is that concept? The concept of thinking before you speak is you're not acting on impulse or just instinct or just what you think in the moment, but you take a moment, you process, and then you respond, and then you react. Otherwise, you're just acting on instinct, and impulse. And I would suggest today that, as I mentioned in the prayer time, that this isn't new, that sin has always been around, and we've seen this in the Old Testament, but we're seeing in our world today a lot of reaction on impulse and emotion. And not much thought going into what is happening before it's done. And, I thought about this and thought, if you go back to the Old Testament, for example, and you go back to a Pharaoh, come on, look at the guy. It's impulse, instinct, and reaction. I'm not going to let the people go. I'm not going to let God's people go. Moses and Aaron, you can go away. I'm not going to let God's people go. There's this whole plague situation. I know, but I'm not going to, nope. Magicians repeated it. Pharaoh, the magicians weren't able to repeat this. I don't care. Still not going to let him go. And then what does he do? He has a change of heart. And he goes, all right, fine. Okay. You talked me into it. Go. And how long did it take for him to go right back into his instinct of, wait a minute, I shouldn't let them go, and just charge right after them. Right? You see, the idea of following Jesus means that goes away. That it's no longer about me or what I want or my emotion or my impulse or my reaction or just my instinct, but now there's something else. God is calling me to a higher standard than just existing. You see, you know, when we exist, right? Well, what do? That's just simply it. We exist, right? Kind of like when I was in high school, the most favorite thing I loved to do. There were three things. Anybody guess? Number one, my most favorite thing to do as a teenager. No. Well, that was one of them. Yeah, but that still wasn't as popular as these three. Yeah. Yes. Eat. First one, eat. Never forget the look on my mom's face. We went to Dairy Queen the one time because we would go from Dairy Queen after church on Sunday evenings from time to time. And everybody would get ice cream. I never really was a fan of ice cream. So when I was a little kid, I would get a Coke because I didn't like ice cream. I know I was one of those kids that didn't like ice cream. And then we go through at the age of 15, it was, you know, at the age of four or six, it was, yeah, five sundaes and one Coke. At the age of 15, it was, yeah, five sundaes and one double cheeseburger with onion rings and a large Coke. And my mom would be like, we're not here for a meal. We're just here for a snack. Yeah, but I could eat it. I'm hungry. So one of my favorite things to do was to eat, right? The other one was to sleep, right? How many of you enjoy sleep? How many of you don't like it when you get it, when you don't get enough of it? How many of you, the people around you, don't like it when you don't get enough of it? So when I was in high school, you didn't have to tell me to stay in bed. I had to drag myself out of bed, especially in the summertime. I didn't have to get up for anything. So it was eat, it was sleep, and watch TV. That was it. Those were the three things. Eat, sleep, watch TV. I just existed. Right? But of course, the truth is, as we follow Christ, there's much more to our life than just eating and sleeping and watching TV. There is much more to our life than just getting up in the morning and going to work and coming home and doing the same routine, because we don't operate out of instinct or impulse. We operate because we're serving a risen Savior who's guiding us in a certain direction, and He wants us to live in a particular certain way. And if we look at a passage like this, and if we say, hey, you know what? I can't do that. Or if we look at a passage like this and say, well, that's not possible. I'm human. What we need to do is take a step back and say, Jesus, how can I be what you are asking me to be? How can I live a life the way that you desire for me to live it? How can I make certain that my behaviors are pleasing to you? Talking about the idea of self-control and impulse and acting on instinct, my father one time, we were painting as a family. Anybody here ever painted as a family before? It's interesting when you have a painting project and you're out there as a family, and of course some are better at it than others, and there I was, Mr. had no interest in this. I could care less. I did not care one bit if the painting job got done. If I did tic-tac-toe on the wall, it did not matter. I forget exactly how old I was. I must have been around 8 years old or so. And I remember my father was doing something with my older brother over here. We were painting, and I had the long pole, you know, with the roller on it. And I'm looking at the paint bucket, and I don't know why. Honestly, I do not know why. But I just thought to myself, I wonder what would happen if I would stick the wrong end of this roller into that paint bucket. And so I did. Okay. Take it out. Paint's dripping off the edge. Father comes back. You know where this is going, right? He reaches for the one that I have, and he gets a handful of paint. And he looks at me and all the calmness my father had, and he said, you did that on purpose. I stop for a moment, think. Not really thinking, I'm acting on impulse at this point, because I don't want to tell the truth, right? because I knew what was going to happen after that. So I tried to make up something that was ridiculous, but I tried to make something up that said, no, I wasn't, it was an accident, I happened to be just walking by and just stuck it in by accident. And you see what took place there from the beginning, what was happening. I wasn't acting in any logical sense whatsoever from the beginning. My behaviors from beginning to end were nothing but impulse and instinct. It was just simply, wonder what happened if I did this. Oh, that's interesting. Dad comes over, takes it, and then he says, you did that on purpose. I still am stuck in my impulse, emotion, instinct, and I just respond out of instinct instead of stopping and saying, wait a minute, should I tell the truth? Wait a minute, should I confess? Wait a minute, should I be honest? Or here's one from the very beginning. What would have happened if I would have simply said, that's really not a good idea, Chad. That really doesn't make much sense. Have you ever said that to yourself before? That's really not a good idea. I probably shouldn't do that. That really doesn't make much sense. You see, the whole idea of the self-control that he's talking about here, and as he says in verse 9, what he says is, he makes it so clear, he says that you have forgotten about the forgiveness of your former sins if you do not have these qualities. So you can say, I don't live up to what Peter's saying. I'm not loving. I don't have self-control, and I'm not godly. I don't have a godly attitude. But Peter's saying you can't just look at that and say, I still believe in him, though, and I still believe in his sacrifice, and I still believe in God. I still believe he exists, and I still believe he went to the cross for my sins. So I'm on my way to heaven, so everything's okay. You really can't say that, because the bottom line he comes back to in verse 9 is, if these qualities aren't there, you have forgotten what you say you believe in. Going back to the idea that when Jesus went to the cross, yes, it was for the atoning sacrifice, and yes, it was for him, take our sin and show the redemption of our sin and forgiveness of our sin. But it was also for him to be able to enable us, to strengthen us, so that we can live in the way he desires us to live. And I know we were humorous about this at the beginning, but I want you to think for a moment of this list. I want you to think and really process this honestly and really ask God to search your own heart and say, God, what behavior is there that might need some work? What behavior is there that may need to change? Because that's why I'm here. And that's why I'm following you. And he really puts it in a way of, he doesn't give any caveat. He doesn't give any room for excuses. You can't say, that's all good and well, God, but you don't understand my situation and where I grew up. And there's nothing like that. That's just the way I am. No, sorry, no. Peter's actually telling you to no longer be just the way you are. And so you look at your own heart and your own life and say, Jesus, search my own heart and my own life, as the psalmist says, and see if there's any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because the whole purpose of following you isn't just to get into heaven. It isn't just to be forgiven of my sins. But the whole purpose in following you is for you to strengthen me to be everything you want and have called me to be. Lord Jesus, we thank you today for your word and for your truth and for everything that you mean to us. And Lord, we ask today that you would guide each and every one of us, that you would go beyond what I've attempted to explain today, and that, Lord, each of us would look at your word and the message from your word to us today. And we would look at our behaviors in our life and we would say, Jesus, how much of us are operating on impulse, emotion, knee-jerk reaction instead of operating under the behaviors that you have called us into so that we can be what you want us to be. Lord, we don't want to forget about you. We don't want to forget about your sacrifice. But your word is telling us today that if our behaviors, at least, at the very least, if our seeking that we would have these behaviors the way you desire them, then we've forgotten what you've done for us. Show each of us what this means. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen. Would you stand with us, please?
When the music fades and all is stripped away, then I simply come, longing just to bring something that's of worth, that will bless your heart. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. And it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. King of endless worth, no one could express how much you deserve. Though I'm weak and poor, all I have is yours, every single breath. I'll bring you more than a song, for a song in itself is not what you have required. You search much deeper within, through the way things appear. You're looking into my heart. I'm coming back to the heart of worship, and it's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. It's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. It's all about you. All about you, Jesus. I'm sorry, Lord, for the thing I made it. When it's all about you. All about you, Jesus.
Lord Jesus, go with us now. Continue to show us what it means to be your disciple. And help us, Lord, in all we do and say, that we will be focused upon you. We ask all these things in your name, the name of Jesus. Amen.